kind of just stand here, but I don't like the pulpit. It blocks me from everyone. But I just want to say that we're living in a world that is very anti-Christian. It's a wicked, fallen world. And we see that people like Hira and Paulette, they do great work for Christ. And we are here to influence the world. And last week, we just came back from OCF camp, and we can see the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in the camp. And I've brought one of the new convert, Penny, that just accepted Christ during the camp today. Tried to bring my own fan club, but I've got only one. But anyway, we need to know that we're living in a post-modern, post-Christian world in Australia. And people will give names to us like we're a bigot, we are hypocrite, and we are fanatic. We're given labels. But at the same time, we need to know that the Holy Spirit is working in our midst. And we need to fight the fight. The Bible tells us we need to stand firm and we need to fight the fight until Jesus comes back again. And that's why we have the Lord's Supper, because it reminds me that even in this battle, we can win the battle for Jesus. Any amen for that? Amen. Amen. That's wonderful. Now, I was reminded of this when I look at this newspaper article in the advertiser. I'm not sure you've seen it before, but it caught my eye. Why does it caught my eye? Because on this, it said, a novice Adelaide gardener has harvested the first zucchini crop, producing a vegetable that weighed at 1.8 kilogram and is 42 centimeters long and 36 centimeters round. So this surprises me in three ways. The first way is, I don't know zucchini can be that big, because I went to Coles, it's giving me a little zucchini. I said, wow, I don't know, am I in the, Jack and the Beanstalk? It's just so big. And the second thing it surprises me is that she is just novice. She's never done it before, but she can grow so big. It gives us hope. And the third thing is, it didn't happen in China. It didn't happen in America. It happened in Adelaide. In Adelaide. So the Holy Spirit is speaking to me that we can produce great fruit for God even in Adelaide. Even if you're a new Christian, you can produce such a big fruit that people will say, wow, what's happening to her? What's happening to him? What's happening to me? So today we're going to talk about the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Because even if you're novice, even if you're in Adelaide, we can grow huge. We can have huge influence in the world because Jesus is with us. And you know that Jesus went back to heaven, but he said, it's good for you because I've sent the Holy Spirit so it can live in us today. Any amen for that?
Amen.
Amen. Because Holy Spirit lives in us, we can grow. So today, next slide, please. Today, we're going to look at three things. Why do we need the fruit of the Holy Spirit in our life? Two is, what is the fruit of the Holy Spirit? And third thing is, how do we get the Holy Spirit from God? Now, we're going to look into all those, but if you know those three things, your life will not be the same again because Holy Spirit lives in us. One of my hero of faith is Deirdre Behova. How many have heard of him before? Most of you have. He's the guy that wrote the book, The Cost of Discipleship. He was he's a German, living in Germany during the Second World War. At that time, Hitler tries to kill the Jews, but he stood up to him, and because of his faith, he was taken into prison. By God's grace, he wrote a lot of books and influenced many people. But because of his faith, he was killed just before Germany was defeated. They killed him. But he said something wonderful here, that our lives as a Christian should make non-believers question their indifference or disbelief in God. What does that mean? It means that when people see the fruit of the Holy Spirit in our life, they will say, hey, there's something different from this person. Some of you know me of my background. I have been a pastor in Sidderidge, Oakton for 6 years. We have a church split, and at the moment, I'm freelancing, and God has helped me so I can help the OCFers. But another thing that you may not know, that I'm also a widower. My wife passed away 3 years ago from cancer. And straight after her passed away, just 3 years ago, I planted the Chinese congregation in the church. So a lot of Chinese churches asked me, because a lot of people do not believe that someone who, I mean, my wife and I are buddies, we're the best friend, we're deeply in love. Someone who are in love so much, how can they plant a church 1 month after the spouse passed away? And how can someone who cannot speak Mandarin can plant a Chinese church? There's two big obstacles that I have, but God have opened door that I've learned that language in a very short time. And also, that's one of my conditions for God, but he helped me to speak Mandarin. The other thing is, God has spoken to me deep in my heart. That's what God wants me to do. So when I preach in the Chinese church, they would say, there's only two possibilities. One is this guy is crazy. He have affected so much by the death of his wife that he have gone crazy. The other option is your God is real. Your God is real. But a lot of people say, I don't think you're crazy because I've talked to you, not crazy. So that's what Bonhoeffer was saying. He's saying that our lives should be so different. Well, people will question, because in this world, if you live in Australia, you know that people will say, where is your God? Show me. We show them with how we live by the fruit of the Holy Spirit. So, first thing is, why do we have to have the Holy Spirit live in our life? Now, I pick up a scripture, which is Galatians 5, 13 to 26. We're going to read through it. So if you don't mind, the next slide. Why do we need the Holy Spirit? Galatians chapter 5, 13 to 14. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. So this is the scripture. So why do we need the Holy Spirit? Jesus came. Why does he came? Because he wants to give us freedom. The Bible said, if the Son has set you free, you are free indeed. We are free to do everything we have. Last time I've spoken to you, there are a lot of times we think that, oh, I'm in great debt in God. I'm $1 million in debt. But last time you remember when I preached, we actually not go to zero net worth. A lot of people think that, oh, Jesus canceled all my debt. Now I'm not $1 million in debt. I'm zero. But no, the Bible tells us, all the spiritual blessing in heaven has given to us. So what it means is we are $1 trillion net worth plus. So we have all this freedom. We can do whatever we want because the Spirit has given us and all the gifts that's given to us. We also have the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We have love, joy, peace, patience, all this, which worth billions of dollars in this world. But the Bible tells us, do not use your freedom to indulge in your flesh. A few weeks ago, OCF have a Q&A session. So all the tough questions they ask. The first question and the most asked question is, for young people, is, can I go clubbing? So, and of course you can go clubbing because the Bible says you can do anything. But what's the next verse? But not everything is beneficial. It's profitable. It's beneficial to you. As Christians, we have all the choices in the world. We can do anything we want. In fact, Jesus will call the friends of sinners. I think Jesus hang out in pubs and clubbing, Heine Street, all these places. So people say, do you know who this tax collector is? You call him friend? Do you know who this woman is? She's a bad woman. She's a prostitute. But Jesus was friends with them. And Jesus is friends with us as well. But I say you have to be careful when you do the club, because they're the places where drugs are dealt with. Women usually wear very scantily, so there are lots of temptation, there are lots of alcohol, and be careful of your testimony as well when you go in and out of those places all the time. But of course we can go. I have to admit, I've never been, but I live in one of the residential halls, and I went to one of the first party. It was so loud, people, after they're drunk, they're just peeing around. It just put me off so much that I can go. But I don't want to go. I have all the freedom, and I can live whatever life I can because Jesus has set me free. So what is freedom? In this world, we're given a false impression of freedom. Do whatever you want. That's freedom. But that's not the definition of freedom in here. He said, rather, serve one another humbly in love. Because this freedom is given to us, it's given to us so that we can go and love and serve one another. This freedom that we have, if we want to live what Jesus has said, I come to give life so that you can live abundantly. If you want to give your life to Jesus, Jesus wants to give you abundant living, abundant life. And this abundant life is only when you can give your love away. And that's freedom. So, next slide, please. So the verse said, so I say, walk in the Spirit and do not gratify the desires of the flesh. After this verse, I'm not going to read through all that. He said, so what is the flesh? The flesh is the desire, is sexual immorality. It's idolatry. It's rage. It's harming one another. Selfish ambition. That's what all the flesh is telling us. If you have all this, you cannot have this freedom. Freedom is to do whatever that God's put in your heart to do. And in Romans 7, it says, we know what we should do, but because of our flesh, we cannot do what we want to do. What a wretched man I am. But praise to God. He has given us freedom today so that we can do the things that we can do, that really want to do in our conscience. And that's true freedom. So how do we fight this? The Bible tells us very, very clearly, there's a simple way. Walk by the Spirit. If you walk by the Spirit, you will not gratify the desire of the flesh. I have a good friend. I won't tell his real name. It's not here, so let's call him Uncle Bob. Uncle Bob is a good man, but he has a problem. His driving is horrendous. So every time I go to the airport, he'll volunteer. Say, Vincent, you go to the airport, I'll drive you there. But just when his car is coming, you can hear him because he's a little bit older, so he's turned his music really loud. So his, from a distance, you can hear the loud music. You thought it's one of those P-platers who, well, no, he's a 78-year-old man who can't hear, so he turned his music really loud. Something like the Eagles, there's a song, or all those. But if you look around his car, it's all stretched here, it's hit there and back. And every time I go to the airport, he's driving, it's like this, and he's slowly drifted off his lane. And I was so scared, sitting in his car. Then one friend. So one fine day, the Holy Spirit gave me a very good solution to that. When he's driving, I said, Uncle Bob, can you help me with the luggage on the back? And can you give me the key? So he put the luggage in the back. I got the key. So I hop in the driver's seat and say, Uncle Bob, why don't I drive? And then you can sit in the driver's seat. And actually, it's a great relief for him. And every time now when I go, he'll give me the key voluntarily. So when I drive, I feel so much safer. And I drove. Now, why do I tell this story? Because when we let our flesh drive, we know we've done something wrong. We've moved out of our lane and sin. But when we let the Holy Spirit, when we walk with the Holy Spirit will take the lead and we just follow. It's like GPS nowadays. I don't know the destination sometimes. You say, turn left, okay, I turn left. Turn right, I turn right. And I arrive at the destination. That's what walk with the Holy Spirit means. It means that when God put impression in your heart or the word of God speaks to you, you just follow and you arrive there. So instead of letting your own flesh taking the driving, you let the Holy Spirit lead. So, and in doing so, we have freedom in Christ. So why do we wants to have the Spirit in our, the fruit of the Spirit in life, because we want to live a life that is free from accident and also have all the abundant living that Jesus has given us. So why do we have it? The second is, so what is the fruit of the Holy Spirit? Now, first of all, why do they give illustration of fruit? Now, on the slide, you say, fruit is given because fruit is something which is very fragile. Fragile is like fruit. It's very soft. It's, if you smash it on the ground, it's squashed. Same as our love, our joy, and our peace. We can have peace, and then when you turn around, your friend reminded you, oh, Do you know that you have exam tomorrow? And all of a sudden, the peace is gone. It's fragile. That's why I need to depend on the Holy Spirit all the time. But fruit, another thing about fruit is it reproduces itself. If you are, the Bible said in John 15, 1 and 5, said, if you abide in me and I in you, you will produce fruit automatically. So it's something that can produce if we're connected with God. Fruit is attractive. How many of you like fruit? I love fruit. And fruit is also nourishes and also have the fragrance. If you love, say, I don't know, if it's Malaysia, I'll say durian. But most probably some fruit that you love, strawberry or some other fruit. When you smell it, you look at it, oh, great, it's excellent. So fruit of the Holy Spirit is something that comes from us naturally, but also will produce fragrance and help people around us. Now, one of the things that when we look at it, a lot of people say the fruits of the Holy Spirit, but that's not biblical. The Bible tells us it's the fruit of the Holy Spirit, one fruit. So just one fruit. So why is there one fruit? I don't know about you, but I love sports. How many of you love sports here? Love sports. For example, if you're a great tennis player, you'll say that my serve is excellent. But can you be a great tennis player by just serving well? No, you have to be all-round the person. You have the return of serve. You need to make sure that you can go to the net and you can do lobs. You can do everything. I also love basketball. Now, how many of you love basketball? Yeah, there's some people love basketball. That's great. NBA, it's actually going into the playoff finals now. The normal games that you play is very different from the playoff finals. Why? Because each team in each round have to win a seven-game series. So they have to win four games out of the games before they go to the next round. And why is it so important? And why is it so hard? Because In a normal seasons game, people will just play because they play almost every day. But in the finals round, they would analyze everything that you do. If you're LeBron James, if you're Steph Curry, if you are Kevin Durant, if you are the N-Man, Anthony Edwards, I'm saying, all these players, people will double team you. They'll look at your weakness. They'll look at it, oh, let him go to the left to shoot because his percentage is lower. They know all your stats. So in order to win a 7-game series, 4 games in a row, it's very, very difficult. So a lot of players in the finals didn't do well because once they are pushed by 2 or 3 people, double team on him, or they look at his weakness, they can't perform. Now, why do I say that? Because a lot of times people will say, I have a lot of love, but you may not have self-control. You may have a lot of peace, but you may not have any gentleness or faithfulness in you. But as a Christian that affects other people, we need all the 9 characteristics in our lives so that people will say, hey, he's not just self-control, but he's also loving. He's also caring. He's also have joy in his life. I want to be like that. All right, next slide, please. Now, there is a differentiation between the gifts of the Spirit and also the fruit of the Spirit. Sorry, can you see it? Yeah. Now, the gifts of the Spirit, I think this month we're talking about, the Holy Spirit. Now, the gift of the Spirit is freely distributed by the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we cannot choose. But the fruit of the Spirit is people, we can actually have it. All Christians should have it. Whereas the first one is the tool that we have, the gifts, to serve, to edify the body of Christ. The fruit of the Spirit is about maturity as a Christian. So we need to develop our maturity and on that side, we want to be more like Jesus. Because if you look at all of that, Jesus have all the 9 fruit. We cannot just develop just 1 characteristic of Jesus. We need to develop all of them. Also, it's our spiritual capacity, if our gift. So if you have a gift of administration, of faith, or speak in tongues, or interpretation of tongues, that's your spiritual capacity. But the fruit of the Spirit is your character as a person. And it's very, very important because our credibility, a lot of times, is in our character. Also, the gifts are given instantly for the purpose of ministry. So someone may not have any gifts. All of a sudden, the Holy Spirit gave gifts to you. You have that gift. But the fruit of the Holy Spirit, that's why it's called fruit, because it needs to be developed. We need to cultivate it. We need to add water. We need to make sure it slowly grows. So one of the tests for us as a Christians, are we growing? Is, do I have more love today than yesterday? Do I have more joy in the Lord today than yesterday? It's a marker for our maturity in Christ. So let's look at those fruit now. Love, the Bible tells us very clearly. God is love. He wants us to love him with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, all of our strength, and love our neighbor as ourselves. So love is a very important characteristic of Christian. Joy, the Bible tells us, do you know this? The joy of the Lord is our strength. So if you don't have joy, you don't have strength. Now, unfortunately, I think Australians and a lot of countries, Hong Kong, China, they're very good at complaining. And unfortunately, the effects is Australian society. That we talk to people, they're complaining, oh, this politician is not good. The weather is even the best in the world. And they say, oh, the weather is not, it's too cold, it's too warm. We love complaining. We need to cultivate a spirit of gratitude, of joy in the Lord. Peace. We are living in a world where there's no stability. I think a lot of people said because of all the advance in technology, we're saved. But COVID told us a very different story. We don't have peace. That's why a lot of people have mental illness, because they're given all this information in the phone and then nothing has gone right. But as Christians, we can have peace because we know God is in control of our lives. Long-suffering or patience. A lot of times we ask God, God, I want patience and I want it now. It doesn't work that way. Sometimes God will put you in difficult circumstances for a long period of time. Remember, it's long suffering, so that we can develop patience. So what else? Gentleness. So we need to be gentle and good and faithful. Meekness is humility. We need to be humble in God. And temperance is self-control. I was shown a poster of what is someone who have no self-control. It said it's an octopus on skates. So when you have all this, but if you cannot control yourself, it's almost like you're an octopus on skates. And the Bible tells us, if you have no self-control, you just open your gates up for the enemies to come in, isn't it, according to the Bible. So we need to know what is the Holy Spirit telling us. We need to grow, and we need to have all these characteristics in God. All right, so we know why we need that, because we want the freedom. We want to do what God wants us to do, to love people. The second is, what is the fruit of the Spirit? We know it's 9 characteristics, and it's something we need to develop. Next slide, please. So how do we get it? That's $1 million questions. It's so good, and we all want this. So how can we do it? In Galatians 5:24, it said, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And Galatians 2:20 said this very clearly. I've been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ live in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith by the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Galatians 2:20. A lot of times when you come to church, people ask you in your youth group, even your pastors and your leaders say, can you be more committed and come and do more for the church? But do you know that Jesus never asked that question? He never said, all right, spend more time, do more devotion, and do more. Jesus never said that. He only asked, are you a crucified Christian? Are you dead in him? But if you are crucified with him, you're able to do anything that God asks us to do. So being crucified is the most important point. Jesus said, if you want to be my disciples, you must deny yourself, take up the cross, and follow me daily. It's not that, oh, 10 years ago I've done that. No, we have to follow Jesus every day. And we need to crucify our flesh and walk with him, with our passion and our desires. And that's the way we can have the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We need to take responsibility. Now, it's great to have the gift of the Spirit because you can do great work for God, but we're dealing with our flesh. Talk about the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We need to take responsibility. Why? Because God has given us freedom. We can choose to do good and choose to do not so good. That's why we have the judgment at the end. Christians won't be judged, but we'll be judged how good work that you have done depends on how big a crown or small crown that you have. All right, next slide, please. Let's look at. And in verse 25 to 26, it says, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. So what is the trick? The trick is to keep in step with the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm not sure you have walked with someone. I take actually 4 men, so 4 times a week, I'll walk with someone when I do discipleship. I find that guys, it's hard to be face-to-face with them because they don't want to tell you anything. But when we start walking, they're opening up and they'll talk about their problems at work, problem with family. So I start walking. Now, because I'm fairly fit, I run 2 or 3 times a week. So I walk quite fast. So that's a young guy. He's only in his 20s. He said, I'm haggard with you walking with you, Pastor Vincent. But he keep up with me, and he's walking quite fast now. So we need to keep in pace with the Holy Spirit. So how can we keep in pace with the Holy Spirit? There was a huge study that's done in around the world by the Center of Bible Engagement. It's a PhD study, so all the data is there. If you want it, I can send it to you. The conclusion is they look at the KPI. What are the KPI, the key performance indicator for a mature Christian? They look at, do they hate themselves? Do they read the Bible? Are they in bondage of lust, pornography, alcohol, hurting themselves? So all these sharing the gospel, so all the indicators. And they find that, to the surprise, it's not about which church denomination that you go. It doesn't depend on which country that you come from. It doesn't depend on if you're a man or woman, if you or your education level. The only thing depends on is if you are engaged with the Bible 4 times a week. He said, if you just read the Bible once a week, there's no difference between you and non-believers. 2 times a week, still no difference. 3 times, there's a blip in the graph. But 4 times a week, all of a sudden, it goes up. So, I don't think it's the slide. Can you have a look if I have a slide of the power of four? I don't think it's. No, don't worry. I did a training session with OCF yesterday. So I showed them all the results of the power of four. So pornography reduced by 50%, alcohol reduced by 50%, 100% of their offering. So church treasurer, you should teach people to do that, because people will tend to tithe more. They will share the gospel. Evangelism goes by 200%. And they love themselves. They know the will of God in their life. So if you don't know the will of God in your life, read the Bible. But you have to be engaged. It's not a speed reading. It's not tick a box about that. It's engaging with the Bible. And yesterday I have taught the OCFs how to do what we call soap journal, how to do your devotion and write down what's the scripture, what's the observation, application, and prayer each day. So start listening to the Word of God and keep in step with the Holy Spirit. So today we've talked about a few things. We've talked about why we need the fruit of the Holy Spirit, because we want to live a life that is free. Like the Romans chapter 8 rather than chapter 7, when we say we know what we should do, but we couldn't do it. But chapter 8 said, praise be to God because Jesus has freed me and there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. The second thing is, what is the fruit of the Holy Spirit? It's love, joy, peace, patience, all the 9 characteristics that God has given us. And we need to develop all of them, not just one. And we need to make sure that it's a maturity character of Christian life. Free is we need to take responsibility. We need to look at our heart. Are we a crucified Christian? Not to spend more time at church, because that's the result. If we are crucified with Christ, when God asks me to do anything, I'll do it. In the 18th century, that's when the Renaissance comes in, there was a disease that spread through the whole nation. It's called the Black Death of childbirth. At that time, more than 50% of women who gave birth to children died on childbirth within 48 hours. And it's so scary for ladies to try to get pregnant. And the doctors at that time said, we are in the Renaissance, we're not believe in superstition, we need to actually do more studies on that. So they cut off cadavers and try to examine what's wrong and how can we solve this problem. They do that, and actually it's getting worse. The rate goes from 50 to 60 to 70%, and lasts for a long time. and all the professors try their best and spend long hours cutting cadavers in the morning and then deliver babies in the afternoon. Then one fine day, a young intern doctor looked at them and say, "Hey guys, do you know what's wrong? Because you don't wash your hands." And the professor said, "What do you know? You're just an intern. We are professors and we are the Renaissance. We know what we are doing." Praise God. After about 10 years or so, I mean, it's not praise God. A lot of women died. But after that, people start listening and start washing their hands. And after they've started washing their hands, that black death of childbirth is gone. Why do I tell you this story? Sometimes we say, "I was born in a Christian family. I know what I'm doing. I'm a pastor. Don't tell me what I should do and cannot do. Of course I can go clubbing. Of course I need to experiment different things in life." We need to take responsibility in our life. Just like the professor saying, "What do you know? I know I'm the professor." We need to take responsibility. When the Holy Spirit speaks to us, we need to take responsibility and listen, and our world will not be the same again. Let's pray. Father, we thank you because when we open your word, we let the Holy Spirit speak to us. And Father, I know that today you're speaking to a lot of us today because your Holy Spirit is here. We ask for your very presence in our life. We ask that the Holy Spirit will speak to convict us of our sin so that we can grow as children of God. And each day help us to be more and more like Jesus, that the fruit of the Spirit will continue to grow. The love, joy, and peace, patience in our life will continue to grow until one day people will say, "Wow, there is a God." And we believe in him because of the fruit of the Spirit around us. So, Father, I just pray for my brothers and sisters that you will move their heart, move their lives, that they will be effective servants of you to bring your kingdom. May your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven, even in Adelaide. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
We're going to have a time of worship. I just want to invite you to stand, but you can sit and stand, whatever, but let's just have a time where we're really open.